Lord's going to release some things to us today. And please, cause your spirit to become alive to be able to receive what the Lord has for you this morning, because it won't come in merely words. It'll come by impartation. I really believe that this morning, actually, there's going to be more about you being able to receive, pick things up in the spirit more than what's actually been said. The things that we want to talk about, and the kind of title I give this a little bit, is living for the future, or living in the future is one way of saying it. But I want us to talk a little bit about that and about what we can look forward to, or and how we are going to chart a course, if you would, for our future. Listen to a couple. I'm going to read a couple of statements to you. Thomas Watson, IBM president in 1943. IBM was the leading company in those days in technology, we'll say, or in computers especially. And the president, Thomas Watson, said in 1943, computers in the future may weigh no more than 1.5 tons. That's what a statement that he made in 1943. And this is what he seen at the time. That's what he thought. Another quote attributed to Watson is, I think there's a world market for about 5 personal computers. Interesting, isn't it? Some of the states. And I want us to think about that a little bit, because here was the president of IBM at that time, leading company in that field. He made a statement, I think there's a world market for about 5 computers in the world. Now, if you look at the 10 producers of computers today in the world, IBM is number 10 down the list. I can't help but wonder when I read that, did something come out of his mouth to chart a course for the company that stifled the company's progress in that particular field? Because out of 10 companies now, there's only they're down the list. See, we can chart our course by some things that come out of our mouths. Now, we have to decide what we are going to think about when it comes to future thinking. How do you look at the future? The scripture says in Psalms 103 that God redeems your life from destruction. So there are some things that you and I could think about that the world is headed for destruction. The world is headed for an Armageddon, or what's left after Armageddon. You see, sometimes we can get so caught up in thinking about what's going to happen in the end of the world. I know I did way back in the 80s, when it was a lot of talk about the end times, and you'd think about cities being bombed out and what was going to happen after the war of Armageddon and so forth. The problem with that was that it didn't give you a lot of hope for this future that we now live in. And you and I are in a situation where we want to have hope for the future. We don't want to only think about the sweet by and by when we get over there on the other side. We want to think about what's here for us today, the things that we have to do today. Otherwise, we'll be missing out on the call of God. Psalm 91:5 says, I will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. In other words, we don't have to be afraid of the destruction, even though we feel destruction may be coming. We don't have to be afraid of it, because we have God on our side. And when we have God on our side, we have a great future. We got good things to look forward to. And we can have that kind of image of these bombed out cities, about destruction that's coming our way. And as if we focus on that, we'll begin to chart our course for the future. Or we can do something else. We can begin to chart our course by thinking about what is available today, some of the beautiful cities that are around today. We can think about the city that we are looking forward to, that the Bible says, whose builder and maker is God. In Hebrews 11:10, the Bible says, for he, Abraham, waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In other words, he was looking for a future. He had a great concept about what his future was going to bring him. He was looking for a city not destroyed mankind, but a city whose builder and maker is God. And so we have to decide what our future is going to be. What are we looking forward to? We were sitting around as a group of ministers recently. We were sitting around and we were talking about things that were going to happen in the future and what we believe God wanted to do. And eventually I said, I am so thrilled that we're not sitting around here talking about doom and gloom and when the end is going to come. I'm so thrilled we're talking about what we sense God saying, what we sense God doing, the future, that there's a great future ahead of us. I'm so thrilled that we're not caught back there and thinking, oh, the world is going to end before we get out of here. I really don't think it is, to be honest with you. I think the world is going to go on for quite a while yet. That's only my personal opinion. He could come, Lord Jesus could come back today, and you know it could be all over, but my personal opinion is that I really feel it's going to go on for a while. And therefore, I have a sense of responsibility in laying down the foundation for our future generations to live by. Because one of the things that happens is whatever is legislated today will become commonplace in the next generation. If something that's legislated today that is not commonplace, that is kind of different, and we say, how could this ever happen? That will become commonplace in the next generation. So it's so important what happens today. It's so important what laws are set in place today, because we're actually laying a foundation for future generations, for your children, for your grandchildren. But you and I have to have the right thinking. I believe in many cases, if we're thinking the wrong way, if we change our thinking, we can change our future. If we change our thinking, we can change our future. In order to arrive where we want to be, we must begin thinking futuristic things, or things that have not happened yet. We have to be thinking almost ahead of our time in order to prepare the way. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4:13. He said, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we speak. You know, words are nothing but spoken thoughts. We think of them before we say them. Words are spoken thoughts. And so if we can change our thinking by what comes out of our mouth. Sometimes people speak without thinking. And when that happens, a lot of times they should have thought. They should have taken the time to think about what they just said. Because sometimes our words come out and they end up hurting somebody, and we don't want to hurt somebody because we had thoughtless thinking, or thoughtless speaking, I should say. Thoughts are unspoken words. We can change our future by changing our thought life. Because when we change our thought life, we will change our words, and words are very, very powerful. By your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. I wonder what words would come out of our mouth if we constantly were reminded of that. By your words, you will be judged for every word that comes out of our mouths. Wow, I wonder how that would change our thinking. Correct thinking for the future, we'll find ourselves enjoying the present in new ways. If we think of thoughts that will bring us a great future ahead, if we have great thoughts concerning our children, great thoughts concerning our grandchildren, great thoughts for retirement, all these kind of things, if we have great thoughts, it will actually cause you to enjoy the present in a greater way. We'll enjoy life. Is that a bad thing for a Christian? No. God wants us to enjoy life. Not only when we get over there, but here. Think about that. Heaven is going to be filled with joy, or is filled with joy. Heaven is a place that you are going to be happy and thrilled. God desires that for you in heaven. If he desires that for you in heaven, why wouldn't he want it for you here? Because he told us to pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if he wants us happy over there, surely he must want us happy over here. If he wants us healthy over there, surely he wants us healthy here. Glory to God. Yeah, when you think about those things, we have a great future. When we think about that, it actually causes us to enjoy the present a whole lot better. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Do not be conformed. In other words, do not be conformed to somebody else's way of thinking. And in this case, do not be conformed to the world's way of thinking. Or another way to put it, don't take your thought life from the world. Don't take your thought life from looking at what's happening in the world. Take your thought life from the Word of God and things that are happening in heaven. What did Paul say? Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. If we set our mind on things above, we're going to have good thoughts. Because everything good is happening above in things in heaven. So if we will renew our minds by the word of God, we begin to think heavenly thoughts. And then And then we will be able to discern what God has for the future for us. You see, we can talk about what God wants to do in the future as a whole in the church in Prince Edward Island and what he desires to accomplish here in Prince Edward Island. And we can get excited about that. And it's good. It's really good. But we also want to know about our own future, don't we? Individually. We want to have a concept of, God, what have you got for me? Individually. What kind of purpose, what kind of destiny, what kind of plan do you have for me? What things do you want to put in my heart, do you want to express through me? Well, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. If we do that, we begin to see God's perfect will for our lives, and then we begin to walk that out as we see them. If we cannot see God's word, if we can't have a glimpse of what God's destiny is for each and every one of us, we're not going to be working toward it. But if we wait on God, if we worship before him, and I'll tell you folks, whether you do it or not, doesn't change it. The fact that you taking the time to worship in his presence, that will transform you. The world is worshiping, whether they realize it or not. The world is worshiping. When you read some of the comments that some of the people make over a hockey game, you realize that there's more there than just healthy entertainment taking place. The world is worshiping. The world worships sports. And you know what? They get caught up in it because they take time to worship. And we could take a look at sports. We could take a look at other kinds of entertainment. We could say the same thing. Well, if you worship God, the creator of the universe, you begin to get familiar with the things of heaven in a new way. You begin to be transformed into thinking like a citizen of the kingdom of God. If you take time to worship him, that might mean putting a set of headphones on sometime and just listening to some worship music that touches your heart. And allowing Holy Spirit to speak to you, allowing the presence that comes when you create an environment of heaven. And you do that by creating an atmosphere of worship. You see, the devil is in a battle for worship. He desires worship. If he can get people to worship him, that's what he wants. Because when it's all said and done, you belong to whomever you worship. And so at the end of this life, it'll be told, who have you been worshiping? And whoever you worship, you belong to, so you'll go with them. Interesting thought, isn't it? Well, I say, if we put ourselves in a place of worshiping God, we begin to get familiar with the things of God and the things of heaven. The future is simply that which is yet to come. How do you live for the future or even in the future and still be in the present? Let me read you a couple of scriptures. Jeremiah 31:17. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their border. There is hope. If you got a lost child, there is hope. Now, I want to just explain this scripture and see how it attaches to a scripture in the book of Acts just a little bit, because to me, it's exciting, it's great, it's wonderful, especially concerning our kids. Jeremiah 31:17, there is hope in the future, in your future, says the Lord, that your children may come back to their own borders. Now, over in Acts 17, verse 26, the scripture says, and he, God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and their dwellings, so that they might seek the Lord. You see, he has put us in certain places so that we might seek the Lord. When our children come back to the borders that were created for them, they will have a thirst for God. They'll begin to seek the Lord. So how do you live in the future concerning your children? Well, you declare over them, my children are children of the kingdom of God. My children belong to Jesus. My children obey the Lord. My children honor their parents. Things go well with them and they live all along on the earth. Great is the peace of my children. As you declare those things, you can add, you're calling the future into the present. These things you're believing, you see the manifestation of them in the future, but you're speaking as if they already exist. We call things that are not as though they were. That's what the Bible says. God, that's the way God functions. And so when it comes even to our children, speak good things over them. Don't say negative things about your children. Don't say negative things about your grandchildren. Speak over them. If you hear a negative thought come in your mind about your children, get rid of it. Stamp it down. Say, that's not the way my children function. My children are taught of the Lord. Grace of the Lord is upon them. Make your words echo into the future as you declare these things over your children. Listen to this in Isaiah 46:10. God is declaring the end or the future from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. You see, the Lord is speaking that I will do all my pleasure. I will declare things into the future. Now, we have to have an understanding the way God does things or the patterns that God uses in the way he does things. Because when we begin to understand that, we begin to realize that we have been made in his likeness and in his image. So if God did it, we have to step up and do things the same way. We begin declaring things into the future. We begin declaring things that we want to take place into the future. And our words can echo into the future. That is to say, your words can chart your course into the future. 1 Thessalonians 1:8 says, the word has gotten around, this is from the Message Bible, the word has gotten around about your lives. Your lives are echoing the Master's word, not only in the provinces, but all over the place. Your lives are echoing the Master's words. Do you know that you do that in your daily life? You are everywhere you go as you're living for Jesus and you are thinking about his presence being with you, that you are actually echoing the word about the kingdom of God as you do things in your everyday life, where you're working, in your place of worship, and when you go to even the places of entertainment, hopefully in good, healthy entertainment, your life is actually reverberating around, depositing the kingdom. And we say, how can you say, Pastor Bill, how can you say that I'm carrying anything that anything from heaven? Well, the Bible says in the 1 John that you have an anointing resting on the inside of you. If you are a born-again believer, there is an anointing, something that has been rubbed off onto you from God, something that is on your life that can identify with heaven. And everywhere you go, you distribute that. And you'll do a better job at distributing if you are conscious of the fact that you are releasing the presence of heaven everywhere you go. We have to be conscious of heaven going with us. So when we go in our workplaces, we're conscious of releasing the presence of heaven in our midst. That's the way people get influenced. And that way, when you're conscious of that fact and you begin to tell somebody who might be having a difficult time and the Lord prompts you to speak to somebody, when you begin to share with them, things begin to happen because the presence of heaven is with you and begins to influence them. You are putting your words out and your words are echoing into the future, making a way for the future that you want. For the future that you want. How could that happen? Well, think about John the Baptist for a moment. John the Baptist went, and he went before Jesus. And people went to him and said to John the Baptist, who are you? Are you the Messiah? He said, no, I'm not. He said, are you the prophet? He said, no, I'm not. And they said, well, what do you say about you? He said, I am one crying in the wilderness. And the message that he was crying about was, make straight the way of the Lord. He was making a way for the Lord to come into the future. He was declaring and decreeing a pathway for the Lord to come. He preached about the fact that there was one coming behind him, coming after him, whose sandals he was not worthy to untie. He charted a course for the coming Messiah. And you went, So many have not recognized the anointing that has come upon them when they have been born again into my kingdom. That anointing that has separated them from the things of this world. For the things of this world are not of the kingdom of God. That anointing will change the things of this world if you'll be conscious of releasing it where you go in your daily travels, For the Lord himself will show up from time to time as you are conscious of releasing the anointing and being conscious of heaven. For there are myriads of heavenly beings around you and go with you as you are conscious of the things of heaven. For you can provide a way for heavenly beings to minister in the atmosphere that you live in today. But be conscious of my presence and I'll show you a brand new way.
Praise Jesus. I just want to share it with you, just what happened there sometimes. Of course, that's a gift of tongues and interpretation that happens.
And now, because we may, I don't want to assume that we're all familiar with spiritual gifts and the way they operate. Now, I just want to tell you, explain to you a little bit about what happens to me when these gifts are operating. Now, I wasn't thinking any more of what was to happen to happen right there, but suddenly I couldn't speak in English anymore. And I knew that the Lord was moving upon me, that he wanted to release something. And so I yielded to it. Now, sometimes it almost seems like you don't have any choice but to yield to it. But sometimes I have refused to yield to it and had the Lord rebuke me afterwards. And I'm endeavoring to follow after him. So think about that word, about the fact that you have an anointing resting on the inside of you and that there are heavenly creatures around you. I say creatures because they're heavenly beings, probably might be a better word, that are around you and go with you as you are conscious of releasing the anointing. John the Baptist used his words to speak out a pathway for the Lord to follow. When you look at things, you begin to plant a seed in your life. You begin to plant a seed in your life when we look with these eyes, because these eyes are portals to the kingdom, or pardon me, the portals to your soul realm. And if we look at things, if you watch a lot of hockey, guess what you're going to be talking about? You're going to be talking about hockey, about your favorite team, wondering if they're going to make it. Wonder if they're going to make it to the semifinals or whatever. If you watch that a lot, that's what you'll be talking about. If you watch some satanic films, if your kids are caught up in things like Harry Potter, that's going to be going through the portals of into your soul realm, and there'll be a seed deposited in the soul at that particular time. And whatever you deposit in your soul realm, you begin to crave. You begin to have a craving for whatever it is that's deposited in you. If you look at pornography, for instance, you begin to look at that a few times, and then you kind of you know it's wrong, so you're trying to go away from it. Then you keep coming back to it. There is a deposit made in your soul, and once that deposit is in there, that which is in there will begin to crave for more of it. Now think about this: if you deposit something from heaven in there. Think of this, if you deposit something from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your soul, you'll begin to crave more of. See, whatever you put in front of your eyes, you'll begin to crave more. So you can chart your course for the future even by what you look at, by what you say, but also what you look at. Because what you look at will go deep down into your spirit, especially if you look at it long enough and you'll have a craving for more of it. Why do you think you keep going back to the same shows all the time when sometimes you know darn well they're not of God? There are things in our lives that we continue to go back to because there's been deposits made in our soul realm. And God is saying today, deposit the things of heaven in our soul realm. Deposit the things of heaven in our soul realm, and then that which is set in on the inside of it will begin to have a yearning for, will begin to have a thirst for. I've noticed something about children. I've noticed something about them, even when my children were little. I've noticed something. It's interesting. I've noticed that the more time you spend with your children, the more of your time they want. You ever notice that? They kind of almost seem to be a little bit out of sorts if you're not there, if you're not spending time with them.
Well, think about that with the Lord. The more time you spend in his word, the more time you spend in worship, the more time you spend with him and thinking about the things of heaven, the more you'll want. You'll feel like a fish out of water when you step outside those boundaries. And you want to get right back in. Because you'll have a deposit in your soul realm. And that deposit begins to thirst for more of Jesus. More of the things of heaven. More of the things of God. We can chart a course for our future by what we allow our eyes to see. We can chart a course, and we are charting a course for our children. Do you realize that? We are charting a course for our children by what we allow them to see and what we allow them to look at and what we speak into their lives. Wow, what power we have. What power we have. God has put in our tongue a powerhouse for good or for evil. I've set before you, God says, life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life so that things will go well with you and your children. Every time you choose life, you're not only doing it for yourself, you're doing it for your kids. Your children are recipients of the life that you choose. And you're presenting a pathway for them to do great and awesome things in the days ahead, in the future. Your children are precious. Speak life into them by what you allow your eyes to see. And by the way, it doesn't work, oh, we'll send the kids to bed and watch this program. Then it won't affect them. No, it doesn't work that way at all. What we set our eyes upon influences us. And what influences us influences our children in our home. Make your home a heavenly atmosphere. And you'll invite angels into it. Make your home a place where the presence of God is honored. And angelic activity will come and begin to influence your whole family. We can chart a course. God has a great future for us. But it's up to us to chart that course for the future. If we will, we'll enjoy the present a whole lot better. Now, one of the greatest ways that you can chart your course for your future is to make sure that you have Jesus Christ in your future. Jesus Christ, him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I just feel compelled this morning for us to make a confession of faith, declaring Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords over our lives. I feel to make a confession of faith, declaring that we actually desire the presence of heaven. We actually desire that heavenly presence. Yes. As we call out to God, saying that we desire that heavenly presence, that he will respond. He will respond to that thirst that we have on the inside of us. He will respond to us. Now say this with me. Father, I stand before you, and I declare Jesus Christ is my King, is my Lord, is my Savior. He's my Redeemer. I want to walk with him. I want him to walk with me. I desire the environment of heaven to rest upon me, to rest upon my family, to rest upon my home. In the name of Jesus, I want more of heaven's presence to be in my home. In the name of Jesus.